How many of you are familiar with the annual survey? Feel free to raise your hand. Not our annual survey, but the annual survey conducted by the American Bible Society called the State of the Bible. I see a couple, maybe one hand, one hand out there. Well, this is a study conducted by the American Bible Society, as I mentioned, and it gauges American engagement and feelings towards the scripture, towards our Bible. I discovered this through a podcast weeks ago, and they were discussing the findings of the 2025 report. And the 2025 report, I think, is conducted in like January of this year, so it's really about data from 2024. And it was very fascinating to me, and I thought I'd bring some of that forth, and you know, we'd have something to discuss today. Quick disclaimer, this is just one study, so I did want to talk about it and kind of use it as a focal point for today. But it is just one study, so there are others. But I will say it is a well-respected study, and it's conducted by an impressive team of people. And I would encourage you to check it out for yourself, and they have years of data backlogged in it as well. But I'm primarily talking about the 2025 study and also it compared to previous years. So first, I want to start with a quote from the report. Over the past few years, our research has revealed a concerning decline in U.S. Bible engagement. Yet in 2024, the U.S. saw a resurgence in Bible sales, a signal of renewed interest. The 2025 data suggest that this potential rebound may be taking root, especially among millennials and men. Meanwhile, engagement among other groups, including baby boomers and women, remains steady. So that's encouraging. One, you know, side note, it's just kind of nice to hear something encouraging about millennials. It seems like you never hear anything encouraging about millennials, myself being one of them. But overall, there has been a drop-off in recent years, and as I share these, you'll see it, in recent years in Bible engagement. Yet this past year, there was a slight uptick. The survey indicates a criteria known as being a Bible user. I don't think we would use this criteria as a Bible user once you hear just the low bar that it is. But this is what they call a Bible user. Someone who interacts with the Bible 3 to 4 times a year outside of services. So that's kind of low bar, right? Hopefully we consider that a low bar. Now, from 2019 to 2021, this number hovered roughly around 50% of Americans. So half of Americans were considered Bible users, meaning they cracked open the Bible at least 3 to 4 times a year. Last year's survey, the 2024 one, revealed an all-time low, showing that only 38% of Americans were Bible users. This year, the most recent data showed a slightly encouraging uptick, being at 41%. But it is interesting to note there was this period of time, roughly 5 to 7 years ago, where it was hovering around 50%, and we saw a drop-off, and now it's kind of hovering around 40%. Just very interesting. Now, the survey admits this is a low bar, being just 3 to 4 times a year engaging with your Bible. What about some other frequencies? 19% of Americans from the survey indicate that they read their Bible every week, with 9% indicating that they do it daily. I think those are interesting numbers to kind of sit on. What's encouraging? The American South. Here we are. The American South has the most Bible users per region. About half of Southerners, 48% of Southerners, fit into this criteria. So let's go. We did it. And going by generation, the lowest Bible user group is Gen Z. Sorry, Gen Z. But that's only because millennials have seen a massive rise in Bible use in the past couple of years. So millennials went from 30% in previous years to now 38%. Still, that being said, the younger generations, millennials and Gen Z, roughly your, I don't know what how they cut it off, but I think it's probably around from 15 to 40, ages 15 to 40, those age ranges, Only about a third are Bible users, which really trails even Gen X and certainly the boomers. So the survey knows that the Bible user criteria is a low bar. They know this. So they go a little bit deeper. And how they go deeper is they ask a series of questions and they formulate a category called being scripture engaged. And being scripture engaged is good. This is what we would want to consider ourselves, right? Scripture engaged. It's more than just opening the Bible three times a year. It does account for frequency of how often you read the Bible, but it also accounts for the impact the Bible has on your relationship with others and with God, and how important the Word of God is in your decision making. So it weights all these areas and you get popped out. You're either scripture engaged or your Bible disengaged, and there's this kind of just lukewarm middle area. So we would want to rank high on this, right? We'd want to rank high that, yes, we read the Bible consistently. It's part of our lives. You would hope that if God was doing this survey towards us, we would rank high on this. Remember, 41% of Americans are considered this meek Bible user category. According to the study, only 20% of Americans are currently engaged with Scripture, meaning it has an impact on the relationships, decision-making, and daily life. 20%. That seems low. I don't know if that seems low to you. It seems low to me. There's a little silver lining. It was below 20% the past 3 years. So this slight uptick I was talking about, it's because we went up to 20%. So I just threw a lot of stats and numbers at you, and I would encourage you, take a look at the report. It's sobering to read it because you do see just steady inclines, sometimes little upticks, but steady inclines in people actually interacting and engaging with Scripture. So what do we do with this? Well, I have a couple of quotes actually from the 2024 study that I found insightful, starting off with this one. Quote, "This provides some helpful context to the general story of decline in the standing of America's faith. Author Aaron M. Wren, for instance, examines the status of American Christianity in recent decades and suggests that we've lived through, quote, a positive world through the time period of 1964 to 1994, a neutral world through 1994 to 2014, and that we've now entered a negative world, 2014 up until it's still going, in which the dominant culture opposes the church," end quote. I found that quote to be really fascinating, that once these people, they're looking at the numbers, they're studying the numbers and the statistics, and they see the trends, and this author kind of put eras to the faith of America from positive to neutral to negative. Another quote, "One of the greatest barriers to effective scripture engagement inside and outside the church is our lack of unity. Not uniformity in traditions or approach, but our unity in our love for the gospel, in our belief that the message of Jesus transforms lives." So, two quick points on this. And the first one is a question. I'm mirroring Mr. Scott Thomas. He was asking a lot of questions the other one of his sermonettes recently. Is this book transforming your life? Is this book transforming your life? Turn with me to Acts 2, verses 42. And I expect we'll be going to Acts 2 tomorrow as well. Acts 2, verse 42. Tomorrow is Pentecost, as we hopefully know. And this is after the sermon, after Peter's sermon, after the coming of the Holy Spirit, after them saying, "What do we do?" And you know what Peter says. Repent and be baptized. Acts 2, verse 42. "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. The NIV says they were devoted to the word of God. You've heard, I think you've probably heard people say something like they started a new activity or a trend or whatever. I don't know. People might say, man, I started Pilates recently, and it's been, I haven't personally, but it's been a life changer. Have you heard people talk like that? Oh, man, I started walking more. I started drinking this type of juice. Game changer. And then they devote themselves to that activity, right? If they're espousing it so much, they devote themselves to it. I think that quote that I read before really nails it. We need to love Scripture. We need to believe. Do you believe that it's a life changer, that it's a game changer? And if you feel like I need to read more daily, I need to read more weekly, we should consider church services as our checkup. A lot of us, we avoid doctors, right? A lot of us, nobody likes to go to the doctor. Nobody likes to get necessarily medical advice. We don't want to get bad news. We don't want to see ourselves maybe as in the physical condition that we actually are in. But sometimes that life from a doctor can be life-changing. And the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It cuts deep. It reveals who you are. So it can be natural to avoid it. And with God's Spirit, it's convicting. But it's a life changer. If you turn to Psalm 34, verse 8. Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. I had another translation say, find out for yourself how good the Lord is. So if you need to up your frequency, there's your encouragement. Find out for yourself how good the Lord is. Taste the medicine. Eat the bread. And point number two. Strength is needed in a darkening world. I just read you the numbers. You know, you live in this world. As those numbers continue to slide, less and less people, unfortunately, will be engaged with God's word. 20% of people are truly saying that they're engaged with the Scripture, that they're letting it lead their lives, that they're reading it a lot. Our society will have less God influence in it. That means more anger, more human reasoning, more distance between ourselves and others, more stress, more anxiety. And thank God for Pentecost. Thank God for the Helper to guide our hearts and minds. But we must feed the Spirit of God. Strengthen ourselves in the Word daily. And strengthen ourselves for those who aren't engaged with Scripture. So it is a bit darker, but the study indicated that over half of Americans, they are curious about the Bible. They're curious to learn more. Let that be us when we get the opportunity. If we're not strong enough, how can we offer that as food for them? To show how the Word is life-changing. Oh, it changed my life, you know. Oh, Pilates has been so good for me, you have to try it. Why don't we share that about the Word of God? I mentioned a lot about Pilates. I'm not actually doing Pilates. I'm sure it would be life-changing. It can be a pain at first to take time out of your day, to stop moving. We're all so frantically moving all the time. And read. The world around us wants to be busy, but we need strength from above because it's our defense. Last scripture I'll flip to is Psalm 119, verse 28. Psalm 119, verse 28. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. We'll review tomorrow God's Holy Spirit and the establishment of the church, but the foundation of which is the belief and the love for his word, devotion to it consistently. We must be dedicated daily readers of the Bible.